This is the GOAT Level Podcast with your host, the GOAT, the legend, the hero, Van Pugh.
Y'all not respecting the bird. And that is absurd. So we lost three in a row. Big deal. Clinched the playoff spot. I'm telling you, man, when it comes to January and February, you got to take the records out. And don't let us get home field advantage. You're really done now. Come on, man. The Eagles lost to Seahawks. They've now lost three in a row. Lost to Seahawks in another giveaway game. Just like the Jets. We lost a game that we led most of it. Basically, the majority of the game. We led. We were winning. It was a close margin, sure. But we led. We were winning. And we just gave it away. Gave it away. Just like the Jets game. I mean, come on, man. The defense improved. It did. They had to. After all the criticism, after all the scrutiny, getting blown out of the last two games, they had to do something. I finally saw them making stops on third downs. I finally saw them keep people out of the end zone. It also helped that the offense was keeping the other offense off the field. Like, the first drive was like 7-8 minutes. Almost didn't score, but they did, thank God. Run defense has fell off a cliff. We went from first to seventh in a matter of a month. It's a shame. But the main reason why we gave away that game is that last drive. We did everything we were supposed to do. Okay, Seahawks stopped us. Punt the ball. Get it to the 8-yard line. I thought, surely, Drew Lock cannot drive down the field with one timeout. Down 4, I believe. There's no way. There's no chance. Yet he did exactly that. That's crazy. I mean, well, the very first pass. It was a little 2-3 yard pass to Noah Fant. The ball bounces off his hands. Byard is right there. There's two defenders right there. But Byard was there and the ball goes over his head. I was like, we had to have that one. Just imagine if he would have caught that. I'm pretty sure he goes into the end zone. And it's 24-13. There's no way Drew Lock comes back from that. 24-13, one timeout. There's no way. But Byard didn't catch it. And it was just a theme for that whole drive. The defense just didn't want to be great. We get it to third down. And once again, we can't stop a slant route or a drag route. That's been a theme all season. And, you know, DK Metcalf caught that. DK Metcalf caught a big pass down the sideline to get them around midfield. And that one should have been picked. I think Drew Lock read single high safety. You know, he ran a single high coverage. I think that's what it looked like. He read that and it looked like DK Metcalf was one-on-one, the safety in the middle of the field. He threw it. He threw it up. It was underthrown. Okay, Bradbury was a step behind, and Sidney Brown was like a half a step behind coming from the middle of the field. DK Metcalf catches that. That should have been picked. That should have been picked. I see why people are mad at Bradbury. That could have been picked. One of those guys should have picked that. But I'm going to get back to that play later because it's going to be relevant later on. And then that pass to Smith and Jigba, like, it's kind of a similar look. It might have been a cover too with Bradbury drifting back and Sidney Brown coming from, I don't think he was from the middle this time. I think he was more so deep half this time. But nevertheless, he didn't get there. Drew Lock throws his best pass of the drive, maybe of the game, and it's a touchdown. This was totally avoidable. This guy should have been picked off twice in that same drive. It didn't happen. I was like, you know what? Cool. We got a man named Jalen Hurts. I think we complete a pass for a first down. And then after that, I mean, I think we get like a first down play, doesn't go far. We go deep. I'm like, what are we doing? What are we doing? We're going deep. Why? I was like, oh man, I hope AJ Brown comes up with this. It's picked off by Julian Love for the second time. Now, the first time, it should have been pass interference. You know he couldn't keep up with Quez Watkins. You know he can't. He's too fast. Quez Watkins too fast. He pulls his jersey, and that allows him to get an extra step, and he picks it off. That's pass interference, bro. He was holding his jersey. And then that second one, remind you now, I told you he was going to come back to this. Remember that play when DK Metcalf caught it over two people? Same look from us, right? I mean, same look from them, I mean. So we get the same type of look. And I think that's why Jalen Hurts just went for it, because that's what he was looking for. He just went for it because he saw that A.J. Brown was leaving. And you know what the old folks say, if you even, you leave. So that's probably what he saw. The safety was in the middle of the field. It's like, maybe we could get it there before the safety gets there and drop it in the bucket. Nah, the safety, unlike Sidney Brown, came over, made the pick. Now, 1 foot down. And the second foot, he tripped over his mans who kind of didn't play the ball and interfered with A.J. Brown. But that wasn't as obvious as the other one. So we can let that one go. Fine, whatever. I'm cool letting that one go. But his second foot, Julian Love, his second foot did not touch the ground. It looked like it did. It was close. But I don't think it was indisputable enough for the rest to overturn it. Game over. Gave the game away. Should have won that game, for sure. We just giving away games. Against the Cowboys, had four turnovers. So I'm like, man, can we just stop beating ourselves? And, oh, yeah. Gainwell was opening the flats on that last play. I mean, if you wanted to play it safe, you could have took that dump off. And he probably would have got like 10 yards. That was a safe thing to do. We could have did that. But, I mean, we ain't had to do that, man. I'm okay with him making that throw. I just wish he put more on it. Or just play it safe. Or maybe he just put more on it and just, or maybe angle it more to the sideline so it'll give Julian Love less time to catch up. Just nonsense, man. We should have won that game. They had no business losing to that team. Seattle was who I thought they were. Facts. And we let them off the hook. Progress was made on defense. Offense took a half a step back. But no, even on offense, progress was made. We ran the ball more. A lot more QB runs, especially on that first drive. Just a lot more runs. And we're taking these long drives and keeping the other offense off the field. So progress was made even though we lost. We shouldn't have lost. But progress was made. So now let's take this momentum. Let's put it all together. It's time now. Let's blow these three teams out, or these two teams out. We got the Giants twice. Let's blow these two teams out. We got the Giants twice and we got the Cardinals. I'll be at the Cardinals game. Let's blow these two teams out. And let's go into January full speed ahead. The Eagles can do this. The bird is the word. And they can still win the Super Bowl. It isn't January yet. Yeah, I got plenty of reason to worry. Plenty. But the bird is the word. And they're going to be all right. Now, real quick. Cowboys lost to the Bills. I was happy. I was excited. But I guess I should have listened to Savage Shea on Twitter. And I should have just held off gloating so much because I knew the Eagles were on the brink of a losing streak, and they were playing against a very capable Seattle team, so I should have held back, but I couldn't help it. Cowboys just been talking all season. They've been annoying all season. Everyone hyping them up, thinking they're going to cruise to the NFC Championship. And then they got their block knocked off by Buffalo. I mean, they got cooked.
He got cooked.
The Bills ran for almost 300 yards. I mean, come on, man. That's all we had to do was run the ball and keep their offense off the field. We did not do that in either game. That's crazy. But the Bills did it. Hopefully, they'll serve as a blueprint. But just like the Eagles, they'll have time to fix things and figure it out. And apparently, they made the excuse that Jonathan Hankins was out. I mean, okay. People can still try to run the ball on you. I'm just saying. But it was refreshing to see the Cowboys get dominated. I picked the Bills to win. I had them winning all the way. I picked them in the preseason to beat the Cowboys. I picked them during the midseason to beat the Cowboys. Even when they were falling off, I was like, they won't beat the Cowboys. But I expected a much closer game. I didn't expect the Cowboys to give up all his rushing yards and to help James Cook have a career day. I absolutely loved it. I loved it. I wish I can, you know what? I might just rewatch the highlights after this show because I really enjoyed what I saw. And the Cowboys fell back. You had Skip Bayless freaking out. And I loved it. Oh, man. Of course, I still watch the NFC East meeting from Scooter Magruder. And, you know, I liked all the back and forth with Eagles and Cowboys fan and the Giants with their nonsense and the Commander fan checking out and, you know, looking at mock drafts because they know the season is over and they're eliminated from playoff contention. So I love it. It was a perfect video. You can go look at it. Scooter Magruder on YouTube. But man, oh man. Cowboys lost and I was happy. But, of course, that got negated by the Eagles' giveaway choke against Seattle. And we haven't beaten Seattle since Donovan McNabb. And I don't think Donovan McNabb ever lost to Seattle. He might have lost Seattle maybe once, maybe twice. I don't think he played in the game where they lost, I don't know, 40-something to nothing against Seattle in like 06. I don't think he played in that game. But he did very well against Seattle. He beat them at least twice. Everybody since then haven't had success against Seattle. And they've had beatable teams. And that just blows my mind, especially this one. This is probably the most beatable team out of all the Pete Carroll teams. This is probably the most beatable one. And we didn't even win. That's crazy. That's wild. But that's okay. The Bird will be fine. Seattle, if we somehow see them in the playoffs, it'll be different. I promise. And the game will probably be in Philly. Now, when it comes to the NFL playoff picture, everybody is overrated. Stay with me now. Everyone is overrated, including the Eagles. It looked like the Eagles, who's going to waltz into another NFC championship? Nope. It's going to be tough. 49ers, Cowboys, Lions, sleeper teams like the Rams and the Seahawks. The way Baker's playing, you know, you got to watch them. You even got to watch the Falcons and the Saints. They're not that far behind the Buccaneers. So you got to watch them too. It's going to be tough. But let's not hype the 49ers and the Ravens too much. And even on the AFC side, yeah, the Ravens are the number one seed. The Chiefs have fell off. The Dolphins haven't done well against 500 teams, 500 or better teams. And they had a close game with the Raiders. So, yeah. These guys are all overrated. The Bills. The Bills choked a lot of close games. And they beat the Chiefs. But, I mean, that's another game they could have lost. They blasted the Cowboys. They blasted the Dolphins. That's very impressive. Still got six losses. The Chiefs, yeah, they got some problems. The Dolphins can be beat. The Ravens, done see them choke a bunch of times. I saw them choke against the Steelers. I watched that game from start to finish, the first Steelers game, start to finish, and they did nothing for three quarters. Saw them choke against the Browns at home. Saw them choke against the Colts at home. Refs, no refs. It still shouldn't have been that close. I saw them almost choke against the Rams at home. Like, these guys can be beat. So the notion that we're just waiting for a 49ers-Ravens Super Bowl is nonsense. Sure, they'll probably play a great game on Christmas. I can't wait. I can't wait to watch it. They're the top two scoring defenses. They both give up like 16 points a game. One defense is better at run defense, and one defense is better at pass defense. And by the way, the Ravens have the number one rushing offense, and it's not even close. So let's see what the 49ers can do, because they got the number three rushing defense. So this is going to be good, man. It's going to come down to the quarterbacks at the end of the day. They're both the X factors in that game. And these guys, just don't hand them the AFC and NFC trophy yet. Let's not give the 49ers the Super Bowl yet. They are overrated. They can be stopped. This is great what they're doing, but what are they going to do with playoff-level intensity and playoff-level game planning? And also, they got a team full of fragile people who get hurt all the time. They're overrated. I'm going to stand on that. Now, if they do end up winning the championship, if they do end up going to the Super Bowl, if they end up winning it, I will apologize and give them the credit. I'm going to be like, I wasn't familiar with their game. Yeah, they blew out the Cowboys and the Eagles. Big deal. Yeah, okay, big deal. It's the regular season. We don't give out December Super Bowls. Remember the Eagles blew out the Cardinals in 2008? Remember that? We play them in the NFC Championship and we lose. The Eagles. A team we blasted in December. Come on, man. Oh, what about the Cowboys in 07 with T.O.? They beat the Giants twice. In the playoffs, they lost. Come on, man. Stop playing. What about the Patriots? Blasted the Jets, blew them out. Got in the playoffs, choked, lost to the same Jets. Oh, what about the 14-2 Chargers? Ran through everybody. Got in the playoffs, choke. Like, y'all act like that can't happen to the 49ers. Like, what if they play Seattle a third time? And Seattle gets them. They out. Man, come on, man. If y'all don't get physical with this team and put pressure on Purdy and knock Christian McCaffrey out, like, that's what you got to do. Debo is good. He's feeling himself right now. He's playing really well. He deserves it. But when we get in the playoffs, he can be shut down too. Like, y'all got to stop. The Cowboys, you just saw, they, you know, one injury and boom, they give up 300 yards rushing. They ain't that good on the road. They got a losing record on the road. It don't look like they're going to get the number one seed. But they're supposed to waltz into the NFC Championship? Come on, man. I believe in the bird. Well, the bird, okay. Let's see what's overrated about my Eagles. Let's see. Defense hasn't been good all year. Offense is inconsistent. Passing offense has fell off a cliff. Rushing defense has fell off a cliff. Despite all these problems, the bird, stay with me, is the word. And you better respect it. They're coming. In January, everything's different. You're going to see what Jalen Hurts is all about. You're going to see a team that's been to the Super Bowl. You're going to see what they're all about. Yeah, we replace some people that have been hurt and moved on to free agency. We replace them with rookies. It don't matter. We'll get them up to speed. They're really talented. They'll be fine. I'm telling you, the bird is coming. And all the teams you hyping up, they overrated. And I'm telling you, if the Eagles got to go on the road against the NFC South, I don't care if it's against Baker. If it's against Baker, well, Baker going to have to get that work. Baker going to bring it. I expect that. That's my guy. Like, he got a statue for a reason. But I ain't worried. The Saints, I mean, yeah, they beat us last year. That was last year. I don't care. They'll be tough in New Orleans if we do have to go to New Orleans. I don't care. I didn't watch them play. I'm not impressed. We can beat them. So, listen. The bird's coming. And they still going to go to the Super Bowl. You can't convince me otherwise until that final whistle in January and somehow the Eagles lose. I'm telling you, man. You better respect that bird. Because they come. Now, stick with the NFL. Brandon Staley got fired last Thursday. They lost 63-7. They lost 63-21. It was like 49-0 at halftime. They couldn't stop anybody. They couldn't stop a bobblehead. Damn! And on offense, just turnovers galore. Just unreal. I know Justin Herbert wasn't playing. I know Keenan Allen wasn't playing. Come on, you got to give a better effort than that. Khalil Mack getting pancaked by rookie tight ends?
Come on, man.
The Chargers weren't serious. They couldn't be serious. Not with that effort. They were trash. They got ran off the field. Everyone in their mama knew that Brandon Staley wasn't going to survive that. We knew it. The team underachieved. They got a losing record. They got their worst record since he's been there. There's no way with a roster that talented, with two really good pass rushers, a stacked secondary, not bad linebacking core, and on offense, you got Justin Herbert, who's supposed to be one of the best young QBs in the league, and you got an 1,000-yard receiver in Keenan Allen. Yeah, there's injuries, but they should be better than what they are. And the playoff game, come on, man. They had like a 27-0 lead. They were supposed to be on their way to Kansas City. Like, that was inexcusable. Unbelievable. It's just, they just had enough. Ownership had enough. He had to go. People have been calling for his job since the Jaguars game. Maybe even before then. It just looked like he was over his head. But when you get blown out like that, gotta go. Your NFL team shouldn't be losing 63-21. This isn't Madden. And you played against a mid team that scored 0 points the week before. Damn! Trash. And you know that. Anyway. Okay, I'll get to this first. NBA versus NFL Christmas. So it looks like the NFL got me. For the first time, maybe since like 06, I'm going to pay more attention to football than basketball on Christmas. They got me. They saw the opportunity and they took advantage of it because this is a day that is usually dominated by the NBA. But since Christmas on a Monday, the NFL saw opportunity to get center stage. And they put 3 games on Christmas. Instead of your typical regular Monday night game, there's 3 games. You got Chiefs and Raiders, which should be a blowout. Even though the Chiefs have all their problems, it should be a blowout. They're still the better team. The Chiefs' defense has improved. If the Raiders can't run the ball, they will get blown out in Kansas City. They have to run the ball. Because Aiden O'Connell against that pass rush in secondary is going to be, it's going to be tough. So, need to run the ball, open things up. Patrick Mahomes is just going to be Patrick Mahomes. Whether his receivers show up, that's another story. But it's going to be rough for the Raiders. It's not a good matchup. They started off well the last time they played, but then they got ran off the field. This should be a blowout, or maybe not, but this should be a two-score game. The Chiefs are just that much better. But the main reason why this is a football Christmas for me is because the Eagles play against the Giants. This is it. You know I can't stand the Giants. I mean, some years I can't stand them more than the Cowboys, but this year isn't one of them. Still, we got to beat them. We can't lose to the Giants. They're rivals. And we can't lose to Tommy DeVito. Like, the whole Italian stallion thing and his, you know, character of our agent and all this is his family. His family's very entertaining. Him putting his fingers together like he a chef or he's a Italian mobster. Yeah, all that is just hilarious. It's cartoonish. Okay, it's entertaining. But I don't care. We got to end all that. It's not going to hit the same if they beat us, especially in Philly. Got to end all that. Now, they just lost to the Saints. Whatever the Saints did, that's what the Eagles need to do. Since their defense is similar to the Commanders who DeVito destroyed, it worries me. But the better team should win. Let's punish this team. Let's get them up out of here. And let's prepare for the Cardinals and also me coming to the link and watching the Eagles versus the Cardinals. Let's get ready for that. And then at 8:30 is everyone's Super Bowl. The Ravens and the 49ers, the December Super Bowl on Christmas Day. Can't wait. Two best scoring defenses. On the NBA side, though, there's so many good games. Oh my God. You got the Bucks. Bucks play the Knicks. Yeah. Okay. The Bucks blew them out last time. And it was a high scoring game. From what I see, the Bucks are like number 5 in offensive rating and pace. And from the other two games that the Bucks and Knicks played, it looked like it was played at their pace. So that should be interesting. Can't wait for Giannis to do his thing. You got the Suns and the Mavericks. You got the Celtics and the Lakers. Celtics-Lakers on Christmas. Celtics-Lakers anytime. They played two amazing games last year, and now they got to play on Christmas? Ooh, that should be good. Oh, boy. Who else? You got Miami and Sixers. Joel Embiid looked like he's going to win another MVP. He's going off. He's going stupid. He just had another 50-point game, and it wasn't against the Wizards this time, thank God. So that should be a really good game. Denver is playing the Warriors. Curry just hit a dagger 3 against Boston and did the night-night. Let's see if he can do it against Denver. Those are all really good games. But I'm probably not going to be able to see any of it. I might flip back and forth because it's those matchups are too juicy to ignore. These are all really good teams. There are no terrible defensive teams on that NBA slate. So it's going to be some well-played games. All type of stars. All the best stars in the league. Like, I guess 15 of the top 20, I might be making this up, but more than half of the top fantasy players are playing on Christmas. So it should be good, but my attention is mostly going to be on the NFL. The early games, I'm not really looking for Chiefs and Raiders, but I'm going to peek at it. Eagles, Giants, I'm definitely going to be watching that. Ravens, 49ers, I'm definitely going to be watching that. But props to the NFL for getting in the mix on Christmas. It's not the first time they've done it. Anytime Christmas is on Saturday, Sunday, or Monday, they're going to have something to say about it. They're going to be in there. So, should be fun, man. So many games to watch. I feel like I shouldn't be sitting down watching all these sports. I should be, you know, working on a business and doing something productive, but I can't help it. These games are too dang good. I got to watch it. Go Birds. Oh, quick predictions for all of them. So, of course, I got the Bucks in New York. They're just a better team. Warriors and Nuggets. I'm going to go with the Nuggets. Once again, I know Curry is going off. Nuggets, better team. Celtics and Lakers. Ah, man. Celtics, a better team, but give me LeBron and AD on a bounce back. They've gone on a little bit of a slide since the in-season tournament. But give me LeBron and AD, big stage, hard to bet against, on a bit of a slide. Why not? Heat and Sixers. Oh, that's a tough one. Give me the Sixers, man. Give me the Sixers. Embiid is just too much. Even though Miami is going to make it tough on him, Embiid is just too much. Give me the Sixers. Embiid and Maxey. And then finally, the Mavs and the Suns. Suns are loaded, even without Bradley Beal. The Mavericks are good, but not great. At the end of the day, too much Luka. This go either way, but I got the Mavericks. Now, NFL, yeah, of course I got the Chiefs. Of course I got the Eagles. Ravens, 49ers. Oh, man. I'm going with the Ravens because they're going to prove that the 49ers overrated. So my gut tells me go with the 49ers, but I'm going with the Ravens. They're going to prove something to the world, and I hope they do. So there you go. NBA versus NFL Christmas. It should be a good one. Hope everyone enjoys. Hopefully you don't have to do anything productive. Hopefully you ain't got to work or do anything else and you can sit back and watch these games. Ja Morant had a great comeback. Like, literally, in more than one way. Because, well, he had 34 points, right? That's great. You know, he finally came back after 25 games. I didn't say too much about his situation and what caused him to get suspended. I think I spent one episode on it. But I basically said he was wilding and he was tripping. But he had a bunch of time away. We done forgot about him until about a week or two ago when we knew he was coming back. We all knew he was going to be back close to Christmas. I wish they was on this Christmas slate. I wish they was playing the Warriors. But, oh well, it's okay. He cooked against the Pelicans. They came back from down 20+. And then, I finally started watching the game towards the end. Pelicans missed a shot. They get the ball. I thought they were going to carry it out without the timeout. And the coach calls timeout. And Ja Morant jumps up and down. He's like, oh, I know what he wanted to do. I know he wanted to drive straight to the lane and score right then and there without the timeout. Get out the timeout. Ball goes straight to Ja. The Pelicans had to know what's coming, right? Of course, he's one-on-one. His defender's waiting at the key. They know he's going to the rim. He gets to the rim. There's two defenders there. He spins and still scores. Like this guy. This guy is the truth. This guy is the truth. I knew it was coming and he delivered. Man. Of course, his father was courtside. His entourage or whoever. I may not have his entourage. Maybe his family. It was all there supporting him. It was great, man. It's good to see Ja back. The NBA is much better with Ja Morant. And I'm so glad that's how it turned out. Him scoring a bunch of points, getting rebounds with a few assists, and leading his team to victory. This you can't make this up. That was almost a storybook ending. That was a storybook situation. Now, can he keep it up? Can he stay healthy? Can he stay out of trouble? If he does, Memphis will be back. Now, I don't know how much they're going to win in a row, but I feel like they could at least get into the 7 to 10 range. They got time. You know? They're like 7 and what, 18? 7 and 19? They had a slow start. But they can definitely come back and at least get into the play-in tournament. And then, you know, if they do that, all bets are off. All bets are off. Happy for Ja, happy for basketball fans all over. That was very fun to watch. And it was against Zion. Zion was playing, I believe. So, and you know, they came out in the same draft, 1-2. Perfect. That was just the perfect time for Ja to come back and show out. Man, what? Let's get it. Now, sticking with basketball, the Wizards actually won a game. Whoa! I love it. I love it because it's just been depressing to be a Wizards fan. The only problem is this kind of hurts our draft lottery odds, but it's a lottery. Come on. Even if we do have the worst record, we still might not end up with the number one pick. Okay? Yeah. The Pistons are still on their losing streak somehow, some way. And we're 2 games ahead of them now. But it just feels good to win. Even though we're jaw taking, it feels good to win. It just feels good. Even though, you know, we're not really going anywhere. But they finally won a game. They beat the Pacers. Perfect. Perfect matchup. Now, the Pacers blew us out game one. I mean, they just ran us off the floor in Indianapolis. They shot, I don't know what they made, like 23s. And, you know, anytime the Pacers and the Wizards play these versions of the team, it's going to be up and down, fast-paced game, a lot of threes. And, you know, the Wizards return the favor this time. They blew them out right after the in-season tournament run. I absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. Great win. Great team to do that against. I mean, the matchup was great. Took advantage of it. And we won. Now, Phoenix plays the level of their competition. So we were blowing them out. No, not really. We had a double-digit lead in Phoenix. So I thought we was going to win that game. And then, of course, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, too much in the fourth quarter. And, of course, they caught up and they won. It was a 3-point game with less than 2 minutes to go. Like, they had a chance to still win that game. Can't be too mad. Then, of course, you get blown out of Sacramento and you play Portland tonight. Considering Portland, didn't they just get blown out by Utah? A mid-team? Like, I feel like we could win this Portland game. They're on a rise. They're just okay at best. They're not that great. And it just got blown out by Utah. Like, they can get this game. Now, when they go to Golden State, probably going to die. Especially the way Steph Curry's playing. But against Portland, they can get this game. They got a bunch of young players. Oh, and the Trailblazers are a 4-point favorite. Okay, that's fine. Still can win that game. Not even joking. Like, this is it. And the Wizards have been overall playing better lately. I'm not sure what they were doing in Sacramento. But before then, you know, they've been playing better. So I don't see why they can't beat Portland Trailblazers. Also, Also, the Eagles Super Bowl odds have dropped to 900. I think I might take that. I don't know when I'm going to make that bet, but I'm going to take that bet. Matter of fact, if we lose, it might drop to 1,000. I'm really going to take that. I mean, come on. It's a bigger payday. Like, Vegas is just setting y'all up. It's just setting y'all up for more money. I love it. I'm going to take it. I'm going to take that. 900? This team? Is it not 500 anymore? Is it not 250 anymore? Is it 900? I will take that. And I'm going to win. Believe that. Because the bird is the word. And you better respect it. It's over. They coming. But I'll get to that later. I'll get to that later. congrats to the Wizards finally won a game. It's been tough. But we'll see what they do in the times ahead. We'll see if Wes Unseld Jr. even sticks around during this journey. But they're improving slowly. And I still think they're tanking. I think I've come around to them tanking. I really thought Jordan Poole's getting better too. He's improving. I really thought Jordan Poole and Kuzma could possibly get us to a sixth seed. They're going to need a massive winning streak to do so, because we've had, like, I don't know, 2 9-game losing streaks or something like that. Like, trash. Absolutely trash. Now, I'm going to skip the Caps. I promise I'll get to them next episode. OU basketball finally lost. I knew Carolina was going to be tough. Everyone knew Carolina was going to be tough, and the game was in Charlotte. It just looked like, from what I saw in the second half, the Carolina Tar Heels just too athletic, too skilled, especially on defense, and it just made it tough on us to score. Now, credit to the Sooners for fighting, but it just wasn't enough. And down the stretch, just too much isolation from our guards, especially McCollum. And they just got us, man. They got us. It's okay. You know, it's not like we can't see them again in the tournament or something. And, you know, things will be different because we'll be further along. And who knows if they'll progress either. But from the looks of it, it just looks like a bad matchup. It's okay. Sooners still doing good. They only got one loss. And now I just really wonder how they're going to do in the conference, because this conference is tough. And this is without Arizona, Arizona State, Houston. And, well, we got Houston. Oh, we got to worry about them. Oh, my God. And this is without Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, Utah. That's just going to make it tougher. BYU is in it. This is a much tougher basketball conference now. Like, football, all them guys that came in, yeah, whatever. They ain't that good. But these guys in basketball, whew. I may not have to worry about UCF. But BYU, Houston, oh boy. Cincinnati, those are some tough basketball schools. Come on now. Cincinnati, that's where Oscar Robertson came from. Those are some tough teams. And I think we got to go to Cincinnati. That's not going to be easy at all. Come on, man. Whatever we got to work on, need to work on, because the conference is going to be tough. It's not going to let up. It's going to be tough games every day, every week, every game, every day. We're just going to have to bring it. Hopefully this ain't another one of them Sooner teams that get off to a fast non-conference start and then we get into the conference and play like crap. Hopefully this ain't another one of them teams, because I don't think I can take that. Especially if they lose to the fake. I'm talking about Oklahoma fake. Let's not speak that. Let's say that we'll beat them twice. Like, I hope so, because I'm tired of losing to them. Especially in Stillwater. Now, Oklahoma football. Now, we're about to play Arizona in a week from now. And it just, now we're worrying about recruiting. It's a signing day and signing period, whatever it is. And Caden Green, who was a tackle on our team, made 7 starts because of injury. He's gone now. And he made some comments that kind of rubbed Sooner Nation the wrong way. Said he wasn't treated like a human and he was lied to and just inflammatory things that's really incriminating Brent Venables and the coaching staff. And of course, Sooner Nation going to get mad about that. We love Brent Venables and he's a great guy and a great coach. To be fair, we weren't inside them walls. We don't know the specifics of what happened. But for him to say that, that was a lot. Like, that was kind of hurtful. So I can understand why they would lash out at Caden Green and his family. And his dad was saying stuff too. And now we still gone too far with giving negative reviews and comments on his dad's business. He's a State Farm insurance agent. Still gone too far. See, this is why I don't pay attention to recruiting. I don't really pay attention to these guys till they step foot on the field in a Sooners uniform. I usually don't. Because it ain't that big of a deal, bro. It's like my coach used to say. It's like my freshman football coach say. Potential means you haven't done it yet. Basically, it means next to nothing until you start producing on the field and getting wins and getting championships. That's what it means. Potential, you just haven't done it yet. And that's what most of these recruits are, just potential. We don't know what they can do. We don't know if they're going to stick around in the long run. So I don't really pay attention to these guys, man. If they leave the Sooners, so what, man? We got 7 freaking championships. We don't need them. Oklahoma is Oklahoma. Oklahoma football is bigger than all of those guys. It's bigger than all of us combined. Oklahoma football will be okay regardless, man. Why we gotta go through this every year, bro? We that emotionally invested into Oklahoma football that we gotta go through this and get into it with recruits and players' families and stuff? It can't be that serious. If they want to leave, bye. We can replace them. We've already replaced them. Literally, look at the transfer portal tracker. We've already replaced these guys. Already. We got a tackle from Michigan State. I don't know if he's as talented as that guy, as Caden Green was, but, well, he definitely has more experience. I think he spent like 3 years at Michigan State, so he got more experience. He got 1 year eligibility left, so he's more seasoned. Come on, man. All the people we lost, we didn't got back. We lost 2 running backs, we got 2 back. Come on, man. This is Oklahoma, bro. We'd be all right. Now, that wasn't a good look for the fan base. That might lose us a recruiting battle or two, but this Oklahoma will be fine. This is a really good team. This is a blessed program. This is one of the best college football programs ever. 7 national championships, dog. Yeah, we haven't won since 2000, but 7. Stop playing. Gonna be fine, man. Anything we lost, we'll get back. So chasing after recruits like that, it just makes us normal Oklahoma fans look bad. And that's a shame because this is a very passionate fan base. Now, we fight with each other and we fight with other fan bases and stuff, and we overall can be annoying to the college football world and the sports world. But it is what it is. It's about that magic. It's magic. Sooner magic. Boomer Sooner. Love my school, love my team. Let's beat Arizona. My gut tells me we won't win this game, but I picked them to win on One Bowl Mania. One Bowl Mania, I don't know what you call it, injury. And I picked them to lose on another injury. But I'm going to be watching the game regardless. Go Sooners. All right. Some stuff I'll get to later, like J.J. Redick versus Buddy Hield. That came up. And they're very similar. But snap judgment. After looking at College Basketball Reference, J.J. Redick was better. Of course, it's a little biased here because I could not stand J.J. Redick. Because he was a rival to Maryland. Now, Georgetown beat him, thank God. But he was a rival to Maryland. He was on a rival team. He was the best player on a rival team. But you can't ignore 28 points a game his senior year. He was unreal. Now, Duke lost in the Sweet 16 three out of 4 years. But he was outstanding. Look at it. From the beginning, he was scoring 15 points a game. And he just kept getting better and better, just like Buddy did. But I seen Buddy from day one. Like, well, Buddy came to OU 2 years after I did. But I remember when he was a freshman riding his bike on Lindsay Street. Like, I remember that. You know what I'm saying? I remember him being a freshman wearing number 3. And he having a lot of energy and stuff. I remember, you know, him just getting better every year and then becoming 2-time conference player of the year. That last season, his senior year, him winning the Naismith Award and the Wooden Award, he was spectacular. And he carried us to the Final Four. I remember all that. Of course, I remember all the other random times when he laughed at me running on, was it Lindsay Street? No, on Asp Avenue by the stadium when I was, you know, doing my running around campus. He caught me and he laughed at me and, you know... He said he saw me rapping on stage, like stuff like that, little moments like that. Like it's personal when it comes to Buddy. So that's why, of course, I'm going to pick him over J.J. Redick. One guy I couldn't stand, the other guy I, you know, admired and ran into on campus many times. So, you know, it's okay. There's going to be a part two to that. I promise you I'll get to that next episode and I'll go more into detail comparing and contrasting J.J. Redick versus Buddy Hield, two very similar players who had similar careers. But, you know, yeah, that's it though. Mr. Rand Pugh, GoatLevelTees.com for all things Goat Level. You already know. Then I'm out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Goat Level Podcast. Make sure you share, subscribe, and get money.